This is the Adam Carriker Show.
Position right of the quarterback, out of the shotgun, first and 20. Jailbreak screen in the air. It is tipped. It is intercepted by Carriker at the Missouri 21-yard line.
Live from the heart of Lincoln, America, eight-year NFL vet and All-American defensive lineman Adam Carriker.
Shotgun snap to Everett. He's got the left arm going, and now he's got a whole lot of Adam Carriker who rips him down inside the 25-yard line.
A 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com. Here is your host, Adam Carriker.
So Adam is out today, but we are still going to have the Adam Carriker Show, and we're going to have a lot of fun doing it. I'm Jake Bachman in here as usual, and we are joined today by Nick Sainert. Nick, how's it going today?
Good, Bach. Bach, it's always a good time because you and I don't get to have on-air conversations a whole lot, and so I'm actually really looking forward to today because it's kind of, you mentioned it when we were off air, it's kind of gives you and I a chance to like reset and be like, okay, where's Bach's head at ahead of the season? Where's Nick's head at? It's going to be a lot of fun. I'm looking forward to it. We have a good time.
Yeah, absolutely. If you want to join in on the conversation, we're going to have a lot of fun today. 402-464-5685. We're going to pick Nick's head, his brain about Nebraska football today, like he was kind of saying, and get our different thoughts here. So I've got a couple different trivia type stuff for you.
No.
So we'll see how you do here in Husker trivia.
Before we dive too deep into that, any exciting plans for the fourth? What's on the Bachoven schedule for this weekend?
Well, the 4th of July is interesting to me because I always, I usually get invited by two or three different people mm-hmm. to go do things. So I'm a bit of a party hopper on the 4th,
that's okay.
Which is good. You know, you go around, you make your appearances, and then eventually I'll be getting home. So that's kind of the plan this year. I don't spend a whole lot of money. I watch other people blow their money up buy a couple cracklers or something.
I received a text last night from actually the 4th of July party group that I'm going to out in Bennington, Nebraska tomorrow night. And the text was $1,500 doesn't get you as much as it used to. You will never find me spending anywhere close to that on fireworks. But hey, like you said, I'm right along the lines of, as you said, I will happily sit there in a lawn chair and just sit from afar and just watch it happen because they are fun. I understand that, like, you know, the pets and you know, obviously you think about the veterans at this time and stuff like that. So I say all this within mind. The 4th is one of my favorite holidays because I really enjoy watching fireworks. I just can't get myself to buy them.
Yeah,
I'll buy a box of smoke balls or
the
little ground blooms or stuff like that. I will not go above and beyond, though.
Yeah, no, there's no way I'd be spending $1,500. It's just other places in my life I think it could go to.
100%. I think I'm doing something tomorrow, and I didn't tell AD this, so I'm glad that you and I get to have this conversation. Every year I go to Seward for the 4th in the mornings because I have family out there, and they're Nebraska's 4th of July city.
That's right.
So there's a lot of just random stuff that happens throughout the day in Seward, Nebraska.
They have like a parade.
They do in the afternoon. Have a parade. Yeah. But then also like in the morning they have craft fairs and they have a little carnival that's going on out there. At least they did a couple of years ago. The brewery out there has a cornhole tournament. They have pole vaulting as well. From high school and college athletes, pole vaulters. So it's just stuff like you don't get to see that very often. One of the things I miss, and maybe the text line can help us out here, one of the things I miss from the 4th of July celebrations in Seward is the air show. So out at the little regional airport that they have out there, they used to have an air show every 4th of July, and it was really, really cool. But once COVID happened and they kind of canceled that, it went away. But tomorrow, for the first time ever, my cousin and I are participating in the cornhole tournament.
Are you?
We are playing in the cornhole tournament. Our first match is at 9 a.m. I don't know anything about it. There's a very good chance that we absolutely get boat raced in the first round and we're done. But there's a chance that we make some noise as well.
Have you been working on cornhole or not really?
We played it. So when we went down to Milford Lake 2 weeks ago, we brought our cornhole boards. And we were playing it. We were feeling good. We ran the Sainert family vacation. And it was like, okay, this is, maybe we need to do this. So I texted him last weekend and I said, hey, Sean, I said, you want to participate in the cornhole tournament? And he's like, yeah, let me look into it. So we just signed up. There's a very good chance, like I said, we get matched up with some people that actually play competitively. Maybe they're in a bags or cornhole league. Who knows what's going to happen, but it's going to be a good time out there. So I always look forward to the 4th of July.
I had no clue they even had an airport. So that's good. Or not an airport, I'm sure, but an air. Somewhere for plans to land. Is it?
Ooh, So Big Bird said the air show was an all-time thing to watch. This year, Seward is having the world's largest time capsule opened.
Okay.
Okay, so there's some stuff going on in Seward, Nebraska tomorrow. I need to do this. I need to check that out. I did hear a rumor that there was the time capsule, but I don't know any of the details. I usually just show up, and then wherever cousins and we drive around like a gator around this town and stuff. It used to be a four wheeler, but now it's like a four person gator. We just drive it around Seward because that's what everybody drives. Nobody drives cars. It's just everybody's driving their four wheelers or their nice little ATV vehicles around just because you can.
Yeah,
it's a good time on the 4th of July.
Now, the world's oldest time capsule, that's quite a statement. I'm not sure if it'll be the world's oldest. Maybe it is, but, you know, as we all know, the United States will be 249 years old tomorrow. Yeah. I don't think Seward is quite 249 years
probably
old.
Probably not.
I'm very intrigued by that. I don't know what's going to be in there.
The full schedule of events. So there's a car show that's out there as well. It's really cool. Let's see the full 2025 schedule. I'm trying to see where they'll have the time capsule information. Once again, it's the world's largest capsule.
Okay, yeah.
Big Bird says they already opened it, but the items will be on display. There's a car and a motorcycle.
Oh, cool.
So yeah, so we misspoke. It's the world's largest, not the world's oldest.
I was gonna say I'd be surprised like that'd be bigger news if they had the world's oldest.
That'd be really special
tomorrow. But the largest one, hey, that's pretty cool too. So. It's a lot of fun. I know I've been out to Seward. I got some family in Seward too.
Nice.
So yeah,
I was never aware of that.
I don't think I've ever quite made it for the 4th. I feel like I was there for near the 4th, a couple of years ago, but I don't remember. There was a 3rd or something. I bought some fireworks up there, but I wasn't there for the festival.
Well, first off, that was where I started my fear of roller coasters. I don't know if I cannot do roller coasters. I rode the octopus at the Seward County Fair during the 4th of July when I was like 9 years old, and I had a panic attack while I was on the ride. I'm not afraid to admit it. I had a panic attack while I was on the ride, and I thought to myself, you know what? Never again. And
since you were a kid, you don't ride.
I will not do roller coasters.
Well, I don't think the octopus at the Seward County Fair is probably a fair evaluation of all roller coasters, do you think?
I still don't feel good about riding. Yeah. Right? It's just that... The thing that scares me about roller coasters, and this is like whether you're passing Six Flags, like when you see those places, when they're shut down and it's like not the time that they're open, obviously, like in Denver, I think there's an amusement park and the stuff looks rusty.
Yeah.
And it's just like they'll put it through one test run and be like, okay, it worked. But then you put 20 people on it.
Yeah.
You just there's too many things out of my control on roller coasters that doesn't make me feel comfortable.
But you don't have a problem like flying a plane or like other stuff.
Absolutely not.
Well, that stuff's out of your control too.
Yeah, I also like part of me sits there and goes, well, if I'm meant to go out this way, like, I can't control that.
Yeah, so. But that's at least for travel. That's not for just your joy of going on a roller coaster.
Yeah, the roller coaster also there's something I love water parks. I could go on the slides. I could do any of that. It's something about roller coasters with it being open as well that I really struggle with.
Yeah. I loved roller coasters as a kid. Unfortunately, in my mid 20s, it already kind of started to sour my stomach when I go on them. So now I don't enjoy them as much, but I've always been, I'll see what your kind of thoughts are on this. Ferris wheels. Hate Ferris wheels. I'm scared. I don't like getting to the top. They stop there.
Yep.
They shake. If you ever go with a kid, you're just kind of like hoping they don't rattle too much. I hate the Ferris wheel.
I gotta be honest. I don't think I've ever been on one.
Oh, don't go.
Like so obviously there's an establishment, no free shout outs in South Lincoln that has a Ferris wheel.
Indoor Ferris
wheel. An indoor Ferris wheel. That would probably be okay for me. It's something about the outdoors. Are you an adrenaline junkie? Like are you somebody that I know there's a lot of people out there that do the roller coaster simply just because of the adrenaline rush it gives them. Are you somebody that enjoys the adrenaline rush?
Again, I think I was at one time. I definitely, I did love that, especially as a kid. This is going to sound crazy, but I'd climb trees tall enough. And there's the craziest experiences when you climb the tree. Not a good idea, by the way. But when you climb a tree
don't do
so
this.
Tall, like so high that like when you hold on to it and the wind blows, you like kind of
no
lean
way,
over
and you would start swaying.
Yes, that was about the height of level of the trees I would climb. So I would be an adventurist at one point in time, but I don't know. There's just something about getting older. Just like, or it, it took enough fall. Like I broke my wrist. I've had enough falls. I've cracked my head that I just feel like, eh, it's probably not worth it at this point.
Like we're talking about this and my palms are uncomfortably sweaty right now. Like this, that's how I feel. I enjoy adrenaline. I just choose to find it in other avenues and not open-ended, you know, open roller coasters. Like my family loves them. Where it's like they love the Mamba. I can't remember what amusement park people are gonna crucify me on the text line for not knowing the actual water or the actual roller coaster park. But like the Mamba's a big one. Down in Kansas Patriot, City. The Patriot's big. I've never gone. My family asked if we ever wanted to go. My sister always wanted to go. I will stay far away from it.
Would you do, Adam's wife just did skydiving for a second time. Would you consider skydiving?
This is Michael Rosenbaum. Hey folks, let me tell you that drinking and driving is a decision that will change your whole world. Things will never be the same once you get a DUI because legal fees and time in court are just the beginning. Getting into a crash is another way your world could be irreversibly changed after drinking and driving. Your vehicle may not be the only thing that gets damaged in that crash. You could face a life-altering injury or even death. But you're not the only one who could face those consequences. Your decision to drink and drive could permanently change someone else's world, whether you injure them or leave their loved ones grieving. The next time you're out drinking, call a rideshare, a taxi, a sober friend, or a designated sober driver. Always plan for a safe ride home. The only decision that will change your world for the better is the decision to call for a sober ride. It's never worth it to drive drunk. Don't risk it. Drive sober or get pulled over. Paid for by NHTSA.
Obviously, you know, your first time tandem, somebody's going to be there with you.
As I stand on the ground right now, I say yes. I would enjoy it. But once you get up there and that door opens, I feel like you have business decisions to make.
Yeah.
And while my thought process when doing a lot of these like riskful tasks or adventures is how many people have done it and it's worked out fine.
Yeah.
Like playing the odds, kind of. Like play the odds a little bit and hope that, you know, everything works out and you're just another one on the for the people that it worked out well for. It just takes one time though for the parachute not to go. I don't know. I also sit there and it was funny. Years ago, Ed Service came and talked, the former Creighton baseball coach.
Okay.
I promise this is going to work back to it. Ed Service came and talked to like the group that I was a part of. And he said, you never want to get out of a situation and look back and go, man, I regret saying no. And I've kind of like kept that. That's how I feel like my approach to skydiving would be. If somebody was like, Nick, we'll let you skydive. I would get up there and be like, all right, you know what, Nick, you're going to feel pretty crappy about yourself if you get back on the ground and you backed out.
Yeah.
And you're going to regret this. You're going to regret saying no. And so I think just my internal peer pressure would kick in.
Were you ever able to jump off the height? Did you go to Woods Pool yet in here?
Oh, yeah.
Jump off the towers?
Jumped off the towers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I say when you said you got up there, got nervous. I remember one time when I was a kid, I climbed up there. I said, I'm not doing this. This is ridiculous.
And then what's most uncomfortable is you have to walk down the ladder.
Right. Yeah.
That's scary
too when you're a kid going down those. Yeah, you're not wrong.
That's the toughest part is actually you look down, you're like, okay, how do I climb? Because you got to work around the kids that are climbing up or the people that are climbing up. And it's like, man, how do I get down? Do I go and like put my heels on the ladder so I can be facing out? Do I go reverse the way I came up and just kind of slowly go? You have to figure out all that stuff.
Well, it's funny too, because you also mentioned, you know, kind of the risk evaluation. And, you know, I think about that sometimes. Like sometimes I feel like humans, you know, we've gotten so far in technology and what we can do that we, you know, like you're acting like a god up there. You're just flying through the sky and that's just fine. But it is. I mean, you have to go back to the evaluation. So like when Adam was talking about how his wife did it, they did it through the same people. And so 20 years later, it's the same people. It's the same instructor. They've been doing it basically, you know, 5 days a week or whatever, all that time. And so it is rather safe if for 20 years somebody's been able to do it several times a day over and over again. And I think about the same thing with airplanes. Obviously, we all get worked up when we see anything there. There's literally people who have careers of taking three flights a day for, you know, 40 years.
That's what I think is like there. I don't know if we actually can comprehend all of the flights that are being are running.
Yeah.
Just at any given moment. Yeah. At the same time, I'll tell you what, I was flying into Dallas back in March and for Nebraska women's basketball when they played TCU. And I remember looking out the window. Are you a window seat or an aisle seat guy?
I'd prefer the window, but okay. Yeah.
So I was looking out the window because I was on the window seat. I'm the same way there. And I remember seeing a plane. There was a plane that was flying next to us.
Oh, yeah.
And I thought to myself, man, like, think about just in this small area, here's two or three planes. You know, and obviously once you get closer to those bigger airports like DFW or JFK or the LAX, there's going to be more and more. O'Hare is a popular one. Because when you fly into O'Hare, you have to go like out into the water and then they like turn around.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so you see a lot of these other planes that are going that same way. And it's just like, well, hold on now. There's a lot of things happening and a lot of organization that we don't even think about. We hop on the plane, we sit there, and we just hope that us individually get to our next spot safely when there's hundreds of other planes that are going and leaving from airport after airport time and time again.
Yeah. And I just think it's so funny, too, kind of going back to, you know, maybe how spoiled we are as air travelers.
Sure.
Is, you know, you get so upset. And I do, like, you know, you're worried about your next flight.
Mm-hmm.
You get so upset if there's any stall. And I think about that, especially when you said O'Hare. Because every time I go into Chicago, like my next flight, I'm always running because there's always some, you know, there's always some sort of stall going on, stalling going on. But it's just funny that we literally fly across the country, then I'm mad about 10 minutes or something.
Yeah, well, or mad about gate changes or and like rightfully so, because you strategically plan out flights to where you can try to get to your destination as quick as possible. So I completely understand the frustration. And I've, just like you, Bach, been in that spot to where it's like, man, I got to run across an entire airport. It feels like I got to take a tram to another gate, to another, I'm blanking on the word, of a terminal.
Yeah.
And stuff. So it does make it. IQ Crew, how about this, Bach? He says, I can confirm Seward on the 4th is legit. People started reserving their spots along the parade route yesterday.
Oh, man.
So the way you do it, and it's simple. It's similar to like the Masters, to where people, once they put a lawn chair, you cannot move it. And so Seward is the same, where it's people will line up chairs and they'll line up blankets. And it's like, all right, how many people are we going to have? We're going to have six. All right, six chairs in a row. Nobody's going to touch them for the next 72 hours. And then we'll all just show up at 3 o'clock. We'll have a spot and then we'll be able to go home after the parade is over or passes us by.
Now, now that you kind of bring that up too, I will have a few more questions about your cornhole tournament. Is there a prize for the victor?
So you know? I don't know all the details.
Okay.
All I know, I don't expect to
win.
Get there.
Yeah.
So, you know, there we are. The cornhole tournament. I'm trying to find some information on it for the July 4th. So once again, it starts at 9 a.m. And shout out. Yeah. So yeah, it just says it's Bottle Rocket Cornhole Tournament and it's Bottle Rocket Brewing, a brewery up in Seward. Great spot. But yeah, it starts at 9 a.m. Hopefully it doesn't go for hours and hours. Like I'm hoping it's one of those things where you don't have teams that like leave and then they come back. And
yeah.
For like, I hope it's just bang, 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 like one after the other.
You think it's a double elimination or
I think it's double elimination.
Yeah. At least I would give you a chance there.
Yeah. So hold on. Let me see if I can, as July 4th cornhole tournament,
because you're right, there are people that there could be some serious competition there are people that are pretty darn good at that game.
Yeah, I would imagine so. I don't throw it, this might shock people, I don't throw it the way you're supposed to throw it. And so, you know, like they can we were playing up at Blur it for the College World Series party, and like people are like spinning it to where it just slides perfect.
Oh yeah.
I just bunch it up and I just kind of throw it.
Yeah,
but I mean, it works out.
There's all we'll different see. Strategies, yeah.
But I would hope that, you know, the boards are regulation, and I hope that the bags are nice quality bags, and I think they are, because this is now. I mean, they've been doing this for years after years, and so I would imagine that the bracket's organized and everything's taking care of itself, and yeah, it's all outdoors, so at least it's at 9 a.m. So hopefully it's not blazing.
Yeah,
you know, as we'll get going. So it's gonna be a good time though. I always enjoy it. So I enjoy the 4th of July, other than obviously like the surprise big booms and things like that. So.
One more thing before we get to break is that yesterday, and I talked a little bit about on air about it. And so I'm glad you're here so I could talk to you about it. You were freaking out because you were worried about a picture that that surfaced online, we'll say that, but a picture that was taken from behind.
I have
to figure
out who took that picture. I think it was Ellie.
Oh, okay.
They did not treat me well for the angle.
It's got you worried. You're balding. You're worried thinning at least.
Thinning. I think thinning is the one, because I don't know if I'll ever fully lose it. It's just thin.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, those are the cards. I said it earlier, and those are the cards I've been dealt.
You're taking it well.
Not internally. I'm trying to be strong on the outside. We got a text when I found out everything yesterday, and shout out to a lot of people. There was like 6 people that DM'd me on Twitter with suggestions.
Oh, good.
On what products I should use. There was somebody, I can't remember who it was on the text line. Maybe they're listening right now and they can remind me. Somebody recommended a specific shampoo that they've used.
Okay.
And it's worked. I bought it, and I just got the notification at 11 a.m. that it was delivered to my door.
Nice.
And so shout out to Amazon. But we're gonna try it.
That's what they say. As soon as you start, you notice it. If you attack it right away, maybe you can save it.
There's hope.
Yeah.
There's hope. I don't know. Follically challenged.
I'm in the same position as you.
No way.
Worried about it. Yeah. You're fine. Starting to get kind of receding hairline here.
Okay.
A little bit of a balding back there, thinning. Like you're kind of saying, so I need to get some of these products too.
There's nothing like I am not ashamed at all to be bald. Like I have no shame at all to, if that day comes, I'm not worried about it. It's just the initial shock.
Yeah.
Like that's what I got to work through. Cause everybody's on the text line being like, Nick, it's not a big deal. Trust me. I have family members. My dad is half bald. Like, you know, he's got the hair around the back of the head and stuff.
Yeah.
And I was like, once again, I have no issues and I'm not embarrassed to be, it's just the initial shock of like, man, I'm 24 and I noticed it.
Yeah.
And it's just, maybe it's my haircut. I don't know.
Yeah. It could be the haircut. That could always factor in as well.
Somebody said, embrace your brain solar panel. I love that. That's what I appreciate. So, and then I got a text message yesterday. Somebody edited a photo of me and made me bald. And they said, you actually look pretty good. You should just shave it now.
If you have the right head shape, it can definitely work out. So for many, we'll see.
Bald is beautiful.
Yeah, Rex Burkhead pulls it off.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with being bald.
The like rest of my body doesn't look like Rex Burkhead, so that's a little bit of an issue. But
now, what you and I do have going for us is we can grow pretty good beards. So
exactly.
That will always be able to balance it out. But let's go ahead and take a quick break. We got plenty of more celebrating the Dew here on the 3rd of July. And also, we'll jump into Husker football trivia. We'll see how you guys can compare against Nick Sainert here. I'm not going to give you the exact topic, but we'll get to that next year on 93.7 The Ticket.